Australia and the UK have signed off finally on the broad terms of the free trade agreement, but the finer points of the deal still to be nutted out. Agricultural exports and visa arrangements between the two countries were the main sticking points. Now, the age limit for working visas to the UK will be lifted to 35, but British backpackers who want to extend their stay here in Australia will no longer have to spend some months working on our farms, and Australian farmers won't have unfettered access to UK markets. There's a 10-year transition period for tariff-free imports and caps to remain for beef and lamb exports.
I'm not going to exaggerate the overall increase in respective GDPs that will flow from this, but I think it's more important politically and symbolically. We're opening up to each other, and this is the prelude to a general campaign of opening up around the world.
That's the British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. Well, Vicky Tredell is the UK High Commissioner to Australia. Vicky Tredell, welcome back to Breakfast.
Great to be with you, Fran.
There we have your own Prime Minister admitting, really, that the value of this free trade agreement is more politically symbolic than economically beneficial. Do you agree that Boris Johnson had to sign this deal?
I don't think that's quite what he said. He said you shouldn't judge it just on the value of the exports that we will gain in terms of returns to the UK or vice versa. It is about a much broader relationship, and the free trade agreement, when finalised and coming into force, will create a whole set of new opportunities that we have yet to measure and put a value to. In the press conference last evening, we all saw your own Prime Minister say it's a broader strategic relationship. What the negotiations have revealed to us is that so many things flow from this FTA, from our science and innovation collaboration, which can lead to new jobs, wealth creation as well. We've established a lot of things without an FTA. Just imagine in opening up our markets and greater access of our people between our two countries, how much more we can yet achieve together.
Well, that sounds great, but in reality, we have a very broad and close relationship with Britain. Of course we do. And we have a broad strategic relationship through the Five Eyes for a start, and we have very close people-to-people links. If the Prime Minister, the British Prime Minister, is saying, and I think the what they're working out is that this whole FTA will add about 0.02% to British GDP, then they're presumably factoring in the jobs and the wealth creation from those services you're talking about. I mean, that seems to be the sum of it. It's an acknowledgement, isn't it, that this is a political thing for Boris Johnson because he had to deliver a deal post-Brexit to show that, you know, he could go out and strike deals on you know, for Britain separate to the EU.
Well, make no mistake, this is a historic moment, and this is our first bespoke. And I think also for Australia, this is, as your own Prime Minister said, the most comprehensive trade deal that Australia has agreed with any other country. We wanted to do something that took the boundaries further, not least because it's not just about this FTA between our two countries, but what it represents and how we will work together as two like-minded, open, liberal democracies to promote free trade globally, the WTO reforms that we both want, Britain's accession to the CTPPP, and a much wider market that will result in. So this FTA is much more than just what we do between our two countries. It's what we do as two countries on the global stage in promoting the norms, the rules that govern free trade that we think the world does need at this time.
Yeah, but I would suggest that that's already something that Britain and Australia would work towards. In terms of this deal itself, how much of it is set now? Britain's created an independent commission to scrutinise the deal before it goes to the Parliament. There's little detail beyond the 10-year transition period for agricultural exports, the new visa arrangements. Is this a done deal?
Yes, because the core elements have been agreed, and rightly, as democracies for both our countries, there will have to be a parliamentary process and scrutiny. Then once it has gone through that, and it is right in a democracy that there is parliamentary scrutiny. The deal will be finalised. It will come into effect as a treaty and it will govern our trade in the coming years. But Fran, can I just go back on a point? Coming up with a free trade agreement like this between our two countries gives us huge legitimacy when we then make the case and argue for the things that we think are necessary for global trade in the FTA, because we will have shown by our example that these are the sorts of things that can and should be done.
British farmers, we've spoken to a couple on this program over the last few months, are worried that, well, were worried the tariff-free deal on beef and lamb would set a bad precedent for future FTA agreements with America and others. The UK's negotiated tariff reduction period of 10 to 15 years, ultimately, with imports on beef and lamb capped. Is that enough to calm the Welsh farmers?
It should be. But look, the work is also about working with our farming sector to innovate, modernise and embrace the opportunities of the global market. We already have legislation on our food safety, etc. That is not going to change. And many Australian farmers have the highest standards. And for those products that come from that sector, they can enter the UK market and compete. We have work in hand in the UK, working with the National Farmers Union, the Food and Drink Trade Association, to promote the opportunities to work with our farming industry, to work with our food and drink industry, to realise the opportunities of global trade. And don't forget, we already have an FTA, which we negotiated with the EU, which offers tariff and quota-free exports of British products to the EU. So we haven't lost that market. This is about embracing new opportunities worldwide.
Visas were another big sticking point of this free trade agreement. One element of it is that now British travellers to Australia on 12-month working visas will no longer have to work in agriculture to extend their visa for another year. Why was that so important? Why aren't young Britons prepared to go and work on Australian farms? Do they think it's beneath them?
No, of course not. Young British visitors here, if they want to work on a farm, can choose to do so. What this change means is that it's not a prerequisite of continuing their stay in Australia. Actually, it equalises the arrangements we already offer to young Australians going to the UK, where there is no such requirement. What we want is the best of our talent visiting each other's countries to maintain those strong people-to-people links that you referred to at the top of this interview. If we have brilliant young people coming here with technology qualifications, why not use them in the growth industries that you need for the new technology that Australia wants to see in your economy? So it's about offering them every opportunity when they come here, just as we do young Australians to the UK.
High Commissioner, can I talk to you about climate change? Because for a long time now, you have been very open about the pressure that Australia is under and will be under to do more on emissions. At the press conference overnight, the British Prime Minister congratulated Scott Morrison for the distance he's come on net zero emissions by 2050. In fact, Australia, the Australian government doesn't have a position yet beyond it's preferable to get to net zero as soon as possible, preferably by 2050. Why did Boris Johnson go easy on Australia? Because you have been leading us to expect this would be a major point of tension at these talks.
I don't think I've led you to believe that. What I have said publicly is that climate change is the number one British foreign policy priority. Indeed, you saw it as a main agenda item at the G7, where my Prime Minister made it very clear that this was something that he and his government are pursuing. And we understand Australia's position, and as friends, we are leaning in to work with Australia on the journey that you must yourselves take. We want to encourage Australia on that journey. The conversations, both in the margins of the G7 and when they met in London, and indeed a working lunch that took place with our Foreign Secretary, these issues were discussed. So we have discussed it at political level, and my job too is to promote Britain's position on climate change, not least because we will be hosting the UN summit on climate, COP26, in Glasgow. I have made clear that Britain is asking all countries to raise their level of ambition.
You've also made clear in recent weeks that carbon border tariffs are a live issue still for discussion with Britain, and certainly the EU, we know, is looking at having discussions within the next few weeks. Do you expect that the UK would look at imposing a border tariff on a country like Australia if it doesn't commit to, say, net zero by 2050 or even sooner?
Our business secretary, Kwasi Kwarteng, has made clear that carbon border taxes would need to be agreed as part of an international effort to prevent carbon leakage and tackle climate change. So anything we do will be subject to that international effort. We don't need to do that if countries raise their ambition, set their targets, including interim targets. Each country has to decide how best to do that and arrive at that position for themselves. And we will work with all countries. And certainly we know that technology is an important part of any energy transition. Britain is already the second largest investor here in Australia, with a value of £39 billion worth of investment. The technology investment that Australia will need to make that transition, indeed coming back to the free trade agreement, is an area that we are keen to look at and find the opportunities for Britain and Australia to work together on.
Vicky Trudell, thank you very much for joining us again on Breakfast.
Thank you.
Vicky Trudell is the British High Commissioner to Australia.